702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
And today we're speaking to Nick Allen, who's in our Cape Talk studios. Nick is the CEO of Savant Technologies Incubator. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Eusebius. I'm well. Thank you very much.
Are they taking good care of you there in Cape Town?
Oh, fantastic. The weather, the sun's come out. It rained this morning, so all is good.
You sound as chillaxed as someone from the Independent Republic of Hout Bay.
No. I'm a city ball boy here.
Yeah? Nick, I'm very excited to have you on the show because we've often had mostly, what's the name of this segment, entrepreneurs, and we don't feature enough incubation projects. And of course, they're very important because then we have a multiplier effect in terms of generating a whole bunch of entrepreneurs who hopefully can also dent some of our unemployment figures as well. And I want us to just really start the journey by you telling us why it is that this is something that is important to you and how you got into it, not just being an entrepreneur, but incubating entrepreneurs in particular, when you could have had a parallel career anywhere within the private sector instead.
Yeah, so I'm an engineer originally.
We all have a past.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a good base. And spent a couple of years as an engineer and got a bit bored and frustrated with that. Through various pathways, ended up working for a life sciences incubator in Cape Town called Acorn Technologies, which had a very strong life sciences focus. One of the things I enjoy doing is I enjoy seeing the fruits of what we're working on. It's great to be able to work on something and see the outcome of that. So after a few years at Acorn and focusing on very much on medical devices, I look to spread my wings and broaden the mandate that I worked on, and that led to the establishment of Savant. And you know, it's great to be able to work with businesses that, you know, come to me with an idea and turn those into companies that make products locally and sell them both onto the local market and the international market. It's immensely satisfying seeing something that you worked on for a long time that came to you on a piece of paper turned into a product on the shelves that people are buying and are enjoying and sending you messages of thanks for the products that are changing their lives. So, you know, that's really rewarding for me. And, you know, being able to create jobs in the process, obviously it's something that our country needs and
Let's give people a description and slow down the conversation, because one of the fascinating things from a business and for that matter from a creativity and, you know, sort of intellectual challenge point of view is you look at a country like South Africa, you know as well as me how many people do not have opportunities to flourish, to become entrepreneurs, but also our education system sucks and is broken and deeply impaired. And consequently, it's also very hard to know who is a potential, tech innovator that can do amazing things in, for example, the manufacturing sector, but they may be invisible because of the nature of our education system and the unequal distribution of opportunities. So step one, you need to find talent, and you know that the opportunity to get into an incubation project like your own is one that is not available to a majority of South Africans. What is the methodologies that you have developed to identify talent, particularly for people who may have innate talent but not necessarily degrees that actually recognize that ability to become an innovative player within the tech sector?
Look, I mean, that is absolutely a major challenge. You know, we look at technologies. The people that come to us are innovators. They typically come to us because they're not entrepreneurs. They need a lot of support. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of guidance. And our job is to provide that commercial support and guidance to help them get onto the market. So our focus really as a starting point is understanding whether the technologies that these people come to us with, you know, are viable, have the opportunity of the probability of getting to market. And then, you know, through our network, through the people that we work with, we're able to help those individuals, those innovators, turn their ideas into reality. Our best case scenario is getting an engineer or a scientist who's got years of experience in their field to, identify a problem and as well as develop the solution to the problem that they've identified.
So where do you find them? Where do you look for those ones?
We get a lot of referrals, and you know that's our preference. We get referrals from companies we worked with in the past. We get lots of great referrals from patent attorneys. We work closely with TIA, but we also look to work with the other incubators in the SDP, the CEDA Technology Program, who typically see a much broader range of clients that don't fall into our specific science and engineering field. Mm. And we often have situations where they'll get in touch and say, look, we've got this guy who's got a tech product,
yeah.
And we don't know how to assist them. Can you work with them? And so you know, that's one way of broadening the scope that of the client that we typically work with.
Nick, at the risk of sounding like an insecure philosophy major, is there interesting reason or just a pragmatic reason why you particularly focus on science and engineering types? Is it because BA students can't count?
Well, look, we've got a, you know, we are specifically a hardware technology incubator. That's the area that we've chosen to focus on. And we've done that for a very specific reason. Our client is the innovator, the scientist, the engineer who's got that great idea. So that's just where we've placed ourselves. We do see innovation from outside the science and engineering space.
Hmm.
But typically what that means is it needs a lot more assistance from us and our partners in taking that technology to market. And also it takes a lot more work on our part to understand whether we've got something viable to work with. You know, if you look at the difference between a PhD with, you know, 10 years of, or 10, 15, even 30 years of experience coming through our door and saying, I've got this great technology in my field that I've understood over the last, you know, 10 years and developed a solution for, it's much easier to get an understanding of whether that's a viable product or not. Whereas,
okay.
So that's it makes our life easier, and there's a lot of opportunity out there just in that niche. So, it's underserviced. It's unloved to a large extent. So we're there to provide that service and give them that love.
15 minutes after 11, if you've just tuned in, this is, of course, midweek and therefore the Entrepreneur Corner, and we're talking to Savant Technologies. Maybe you are a science geek who is potentially an innovator and a business person or in the engineering space. While you are tuned into exactly the right moment, I'm going to ask Nick on the other side of this, what kind of opportunities there are for those of you who potentially can play in the tech space, but you just need a guiding hand, and they play all along the value chain from conceptualizing a potential product right up to intellectual property, taking it to market. They don't just give you funding and then wish you good luck. So more about what they do and what they can do for you if you are the right person to be incubated by them on the other side of this.
702 and Cake Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
We're in conversation with CEO of Savant Technologies, Nick Allen, and we're talking about incubating. Nick, I've got so many questions for you, and we've only got 10 minutes left, but the first one I wanted to ask is, why did you decide that you need to play along the entire value chain of the entrepreneurial journey, as it were? There are, for example, development finance institutions that don't do so, but they may give you money, but they're not necessarily going to hold your hand with intellectual property, taking things to market, etc., etc. You've taken on a gigantic burden by being involved in every stage of the process as you get that would-be entrepreneur coming into the incubation project. Why is that?
Because that's where we've seen the need. You know, we've seen that people come across our desks, come into our office and say, we need support. We need guidance to take this great idea and turn it into a product, turn that product into a business, start manufacturing it, get it onto the local market and take it onto the international market. When I mentioned earlier that we work with innovators and inventors, the guys typically that we work with aren't entrepreneurs. You know, they're not Elon Musk. They're not Bill Gates. They're not, they're not fantastic entrepreneurs. But what they are often fantastic inventors, innovators, scientists, engineers. So they do need a lot of support, and they need the support from end to end. So we've taken that upon ourselves to walk our companies through the process of turning ideas into products and products into businesses.
Introduce my listeners to some of them. What have been some of the amazing things they've done? How many of them have gone through your project so far?
So we've got about 18 companies active in our portfolio at the moment. Some of our previous businesses that we've worked with that have done well are Liat Corp, that makes that started off with a neck brace for motocross that now sells globally, with their head office here in Cape Town still. Snoozer, it's an apnea monitor for babies that we worked with right from the very beginning, that manufactures the product locally and also sells. It's the top infant apnea monitor in the world. We've got veggie crisps that you buy at Woolies that's made here in the Cape. Scaling up that process to start launching into international markets at the moment. We work with a very broad range of businesses, as I mentioned, from sort of neck braces to medical device type things to food products. Pretty much everything in the hardware space. So hardware being stuff that you can touch and feel.
And that's quite fascinating because software is all the rage. Everyone wants to come up with the next big app that will make them a quick billion or three. Yeah. And in the process, and it's so interesting you should say this, when my producer mentioned to me your Hawaii manufacturing matters to you, I was thinking to an economist we had on the show just the other day, Tabi Lioka, that was talking about how as a portion of GDP contribution, manufacturing, for example, has shrunk over the last couple of years, despite Cyril thinking that jobs will be unleashed there. You are helping out some of these politicians with filling in the how to do it in exactly this kind of way. Tell us a little bit more about why it is that you think hardware is under the radar, but I guess also more importantly, you have an eye for another gap in the market there.
Yeah, so it, as you say, everybody's chasing a quick buck in the next app. Firstly, that's not quite as easy as people like to think it is. At the same time, hardware is tough. It's the long lead times. It takes a long time to build the product. It takes a lot of money to build the product. It takes a lot of money to launch the product, but there are lots of benefits to it. We typically work with companies that have strong intellectual property, that have patents, that have know-how, that have industrial secrets. So that once you've got your product onto the market, you've got barriers to entry. So, the guy down the road can't just copy you. So that brings a lot of value to it, to hardware. And one of the big things for me is that hardware businesses create jobs. We make things. We make products that people consume, that people use. And typically our businesses employ people across the board. So they're people, typically you look at something like Veggie Crisp or Form Foods. They employ people from unskilled laborers, completely unskilled laborers, all the way up to scientists and engineers that make sure the equipment works, make sure that the functional ingredients work. So there's a broad range of skills, needed and a broad range of jobs that are created. And they, when you scale your businesses, you create lots more jobs. And that's really what we want to achieve. We want to build scalable businesses that take their products onto the local market, make a success of them there, and then scale them up into the international market.
How are these deals then structured and what's in it for you? Because you yourself obviously have got to be also sustainable as much as you are helping to create these amazing opportunities.
So from when we first started back in 2005, for the first 10 years or so, we were very much a private incubator, getting by on a lot of consulting work and a lot of revenue generated from pretty much any source we could. More recently, we've been pulled into the CEDA Technology Program, and thanks to their support, we're now able to completely focus on incubation entirely. So we do have support from government, and we're obviously very grateful for that. It allows us to do what we want to do. At the same time, we look to take small equity stakes in our businesses so that we align our interests with the companies we work with. But also it means that, once our businesses are successful, we're able to plow whatever we can make back into building Savant into a bigger business and allowing us to reach more clients.
And then last but not least, because a lot of people are now fascinated by this conversation, how can they find out more and what is the next cycle of opportunity?
So people can reach us through our website, savant.co.za, drop us an email or a connection through that. We don't do calls for applications. We take applications on an ad hoc basis, so people can come to us when they're ready. We're very proud to be a technology innovation agency seed fund partner, so we're able to put a little bit of seed funding into our businesses to take them forward. So that is an open call as well. So if people have got great ideas, get in touch with us through our website. We'll send you an application form. We're not a VC, so you know, we're not expecting it's somebody's very fancy final business plan. We want to know about the technology, we want to know about you, and we want to work with you to build your idea into something that we can eventually take to a venture capitalist. Okay. So we try and set the hurdles to getting involved with us quite low. We want to break down those barriers to entry. You don't have to have a slick business plan. You don't have to say the right things. You don't have to know finance. You don't have to know marketing. We're here to help you with that. So, you know, our application form is as straightforward and as simple as possible. And if people are still battling with that, we'll sit with them and try and complete it. But we're looking for innovators.
You're not trying to catch them out. You're trying to actually make sure that there are no false negatives.
We're here to help people. Mm. We're here to help innovators. And we're not arrogant. We're not full of ourselves. Our innovators and inventors are our clients. Absolutely. So our job is there to make things easy for them.
Well, Nick, thank you. You have a wonderfully understated tone, but you are the real deal. 12 years of track record to show it. Revenues earned by startups around 3 billion, close to 3 billion now. Total investment secured for startups, 106 million rand. So if you're listening to this conversation, go on the website, try your luck. This certainly is someone who has all the receipts for what an incubation project can really deliver, with some proper partnership with the state and also thoughtfulness in terms of end-to-end assistance, because let's be honest, that's often what is needed by some would-be innovators. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Eusebius. Have a great day.